Now, when the flies either hatch or try to get out, they buzz. They can't get out. So there is a buzzing everywhere around. Now, the sheep know that it's painful, it's driving them nuts, but they don't know where it's coming from. So what they do is they actually go up against a tree or a rock and they beat their head against the tree to stop the buzzing. I told you they're not the brightest animal on the planet.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. For the past 2 days, Pastor Wayne has been bringing a message entitled Connecting Everything to a Soul, where we learned what is good for our soul, what is harmful to it, and even how to restore our soul. Well, today we'll find out that it's all about staying close to the shepherd. In a moment, the conclusion of the message, Connecting Everything to a Soul. But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope. Now, here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Connecting Everything to a Soul.
Towards the evening, shepherds look at the sky to see buzzards circling. Because you see, in the evening, shadows get long, and because sheep have poor eyesight, often because they eat and eat and eat, and they ignore the instruction of the shepherd, their rumen becomes full, and then they get a little wobbly, and when the shadows are long, they can trip. Now, in the Israeli desert, there were streams that would come through the desert, and when they dry up, they would leave shallow depressions all over. They called them wadi, W-A-D-I. And sometimes the sheep, when they would trip, they would flip over. Now, here's another thing about sheep. Sheep are like turtles. When a sheep is cast, so that's the word, cast, or turned over, they cannot upright themselves. And blood drains from their extremities, and if they don't get help right away, their stomach bloats to such an extent that they suffocate themselves, and it's fatal. So in the evening, the shepherd will often search the sky and scan the evening And when he sees buzzards, he starts running to that direction because he sees predators also watch. Because remember, predators wait for the sheep to get separated from the shepherd, and now they are vulnerable. Listen, there's going to be times you will feel cast. David used that same word in Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you discouraged within me? Hope again in God. There's going to be times you will have wandered off. No, not intentionally, just inadvertently. And you didn't take time to ruminate when you should have. And then you'll trip. And your soul will be cast down. And you're going to try everything you can to get circulation back, and you just can't. Because you see, it's very tough to restore your own soul. But the shepherd is watching for you. Watch for him. Cry out to him. He'll hear you, because you can't upright yourself. The shepherd runs to the sheep, and the first thing he does is he massages it to kind of get blood flow going. And if the bloat is of extreme nature, talk to a vet. This is exactly what they do. They will pull their knife out and stab the sheep in the rumen. Why? Well, it looks like he's killing it, but he's not. He's actually letting the gas out. Then it reduces the bloating. And then this is what he does. He slowly turns the sheep over. And if you remember, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. He takes that sheep up and he actually straddles the sheep like this. And he guides them to let that sheep walk because it restores circulation again. Isn't it true? You go in for a surgery or something and you're coming out of surgery. You're hardly off the gurney and the nurse says, come, let's walk, walk, walk. It's like, I don't have a leg. They just cut it up. That's all right. Just walk, walk, walk. Why? Because they know that walking causes a circulation to return and gets the healing back. And so the shepherd straddles the sheep, and should the sheep fall, it falls on the leg of the shepherd. Isn't that neat? Don't we have a wonderful shepherd? Sometimes you think he's killing you, but he's saving your life. And he begins to guide you back, all the way back to the sheepfold. In the New Testament, when it says that we need to be workmen unashamed, walking accurately in the word of truth, that word walking accurately in the word of truth is actually the Greek word orthopedeo. Now, orthos is straight, like orthodontics, straighten your teeth. Podeo is like a pedestrian or podiatrist. To be, again, walking righteously, it's actually orthopedeo, means walking straight again. God guides us by his word to walk straight. And you'll notice that it'll be the shepherd who will gather around you to teach you, to mentor you, to guide you into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then the sheep boings off and he's fine. He gets back to the sheepfold. But listen to this next one. Did you read this with me? Go. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no why, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Stop right there. What comforts you? Rod and staff. Not just staff, but what? Okay, continue. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. There's two things that the shepherd keeps with him. One is a staff with a crook on it, so that in the evening time when they're going to go to sleep somewhere and the path narrows, he uses his staff to get the sheep in, even when they're going through a valley area with a precipice on one side. That comforts them because they know where the edge is because the shepherd's staff. Thy staff and thy rod. So you say, okay, I can see how a staff would comfort, but what about a rod? How would that comfort? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, the rod is like a javelin, and he can use it against predators. And remember, the predator doesn't attack the sheep when they're near him. Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because thou art with me. The proximity to the Lord, very important. But thou dost prepare before me a table in the presence of mine enemies. You see, when the sheep are foraging here, he goes over the next knoll to see if there's another place for the sheep to graze. And when he finds a pasture, he goes through and plucks out toxic weeds that could be fatal if ingested by the sheep. Things like mountain laurel is a toxic weed that will kill an animal. Also one called loco weed, self-explanatory. And one called hemlock. You've heard of that? With Socrates. And so he'll pull those out. And he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And then when the sheep goes in, they can eat without anxiety because they know everything is fine and the shepherd waits. Now, sometimes maybe they go to the edge of that place, that pasture, and he might see them going towards some hemlock. Now, he can't yell because they won't understand. He doesn't have time to run and grab them. It's too late. So he takes his javelin, and he's an expert at this, and he flings that thing. Bang, knocks a sheep on the side of the rib, maybe bruises his rib, bah, it runs off, and that stung, that smarted, but it'll save his life. Don't ever learn to duck from the rod. There's going to be times in your life you'll get so angry at God, something will go wrong. You'll get mad at God, and you'll want to throw everything to the wind and just take off. Don't do it. The predator is betting on you to do that. Don't do it. God will sometimes discipline you, and it will smart like crazy, and you'll want to stay away from church. Don't you dare do it. It's at that moment you press in as hard as you can, because there's a predator out there waiting for you. Because he wants you to lose it all. It will be fatal to you. The shepherd is restoring your soul by the process of his shepherding. And sometimes he's going to use a rod. And you know what we do sometimes? We get so adept at ducking the rod that we put on an illusion of Christianity, but we've stopped growing years ago. And we're dead on the inside. And God is here today because I think he wants to restore your soul. Many of us have lost our soul. It's absent. And God is here to restore your soul. Don't duck the rod. Receive it because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, I'm going to share with you a very dangerous prayer. No, we're going just a touch over time, but if you don't mind... I would challenge you to pray this prayer, but only very carefully. I prayed this prayer, and God will answer it. So be real careful. But it's a very dangerous prayer. And here's what I prayed. I said, Lord, if I ever start to go sideways, and I'm on my way to do something that will ruin this church, destroy my wife and family, and mess up my ministry, you have permission to take my life before it happens. If not, nail me with the biggest 2x4 heaven has. And I don't care if it knocks me cold and I have to recuperate in hospital. Whatever you need to do, please do not let me go and destroy this church or my wife and family. I give you permission to take my life. Now, I don't suggest you pray that, but I challenge you, if you are serious, you could pray that. And because I want to make sure that God knows that he can use the rod on me. Because often we want just God's staff, but don't give me the rod. And we duck the rod. We become very adept at ducking the rod. And then we live this life of illusion. And then God says, what profits a man if he gains the whole world but lost his soul? What's more important than your soul? Are you understanding? Your soul is that part of you that God, when he reaches, is able to transform your life. Or do you want him just to give you more religious knowledge so you look the part and fool everybody? So your soul is so incredibly important. But here's the neat part. Would you read this last part as they come towards the end of the day? Read it. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup. Toward the end of the day, the shepherd counts the sheep. And he brings them towards an enclosed area where he's seated right at the gate. And it might be against a wall or a cliff or a cave where they're going to spend the night. And the shepherd is there. And he has beside him a bucket of cold, fresh water. And on the other side, a bucket of olive oil. Why? Because sheep have a problem with flies. You see, while they're out there in the hot day, flies gather around the mucous membranes of a sheep, the eyes, the nose, ears, etc. And what happens is the flies will burrow into the wool, the thick wool around the skull of the sheep, where a lot of the mucous membranes are. And inside against the skin, sheep or wool have a lot of what they call lanolin. Lanolin, like an oil. And it is there that flies love to hatch their larvae against the head of the sheep. Now, when the flies either hatch or try to get out, they buzz. They can't get out. So there is a buzzing everywhere around. Now, the sheep know that it's painful. It's driving them nuts. But they don't know where it's coming from. So what they do is they actually go up against a tree or a rock and they beat their head against the tree to stop the buzzing. I told you they're not the brightest animal on the planet. But you see, the sheep don't know if the pain is coming from the outside or the inside. And it's going to do anything it can to stop that, even if it's going to hurt themselves. And we're just like sheep. There's going to be times you're going to have pain in your life and you don't know the source of it. And you're going to do everything or anything in desperation you can to stop it, even if it means hurting yourself, your family, your future, even your faith. Be very careful. Be very careful. Well, what do you do then? Run to the shepherd. Run to the shepherd. When the sheep come in, the shepherd rubs its head to see if there's any abrasions or any blood. And if there is, he takes olive oil and he drains it in around the skull and massages it in. Because what the olive oil does is not only does it soothe the abrasions or any lesions, but what it does is it suffocates the larva and kills the flies on the inside. And then he gives them a large cup or drink from that water and then lets them in. And when all of these oil-smeared sheep are snuggled up to the shepherd, he lays right in the doorway to ensure that nothing comes for the sheep unless it goes over them. And if you recall in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And then it says, I am the door of the sheep. You see, the door of the sheepfold is Jesus. That's why he says, none can come by me to the Father except by me. Jesus is that door. And there's no more beautiful portrayal of a great shepherd than oil-smeared sheep snuggled up to the shepherd whose souls have been restored and they're free from the predator. We have a great shepherd, and if you need your soul restored, do it, because that's how you'll begin to be effervescent and absorbent again, and you'll grow. So you won't anymore just go to church. You'll start to grow in church. You'll start to see life become more buoyant. You'll start to see new vistas and new horizons. Why? Because things around you have changed? No, because your soul was restored by the shepherd. We have a great shepherd, don't we? And we want to be that kind of sheep. Amen. 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 Would you stand with me as we conclude? Would you bow your heads with me? You might be here today, and the Lord Jesus actually organized it in such a way that you were invited so that He could restore your soul. Some of you have been running without a soul for a while. Some of you have been cast down, disquieted in your soul. And today the Lord wants to touch you and restore your soul. And if you're here and you'd say, you know, Jesus, I need my soul restored. Would you restore my soul? Would you restore my soul? If that's you, would you just raise a hand? Just say, yep, that's me. Yeah, okay, yeah. Lord, restore our souls. That's why we're here, oh God. Not to play church, not to just look like, but to be transformed by. Thank you, Lord. You don't want to just look like Christians. You want to be transformed by Christ. You can put your hands down. If you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I'm so far from the shepherd. I need to receive Him as Lord and Savior. But I'm 1,000 miles away. What do I do? Let me say this. If you're 1,000 miles away, Jesus will take every step to close that gap to you. Every step. Except the last. That last step is yours. Where you cry out to God and say, Jesus, here I am, lost sheep. Would you restore my soul? I want to receive you as Lord and Savior. Come change me, and I'll exchange my checkered past, my propensity to stray. I'll trade that for your bright future. Would you be my Lord and Savior? I accept you into my heart. If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, I need to receive Jesus? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I need to receive Jesus. Yeah. Okay. You too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In the back, just hold them up just for a second. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord sees that. Yeah. Good. Good. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you've received Christ, ushers will be outside with a yes packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Would you take one? It'll help you so much in your first few steps with Christ. But I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer. If this is your first time, pray it with all your heart and soul. If this is your 50th time, pray it with all your heart and soul. And let's renew our souls to the King. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins. I turn to you. Be my shepherd. Be my Savior. My Redeemer. And now I say this so everyone can hear. So you can hear me. So I can hear myself. And so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's the cry of our hearts. Thank you for being our shepherd. We love being the sheep of your pasture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, welcome these who said yes to Jesus as Lord and shepherd and Redeemer. And let's sing. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you and you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away,
every moment I'm away,
Lord, have your way in me,
Lord, I give you my heart,
all my
God bless you. Have a great day. Give someone a hug on your way out. Would you please?
Lord, I give my heart. Give my soul.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Connecting Everything to a Soul by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. This is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.